The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, human. I'm Jim Saunders, and I've been a member of this congregation for 32 years. As you know by now, our minister, Reverend Dave Dunn, is on his sabbatical. And our guest minister today is Dr. Lisa Story. Our music director, Alex Peach, is on vacation this week, and we are fortunate to have our very own Meredith McCaskey doing the music this week. Lisa Story is one of the guiding teachers and co-founders of the Roswell Insight Meditation Community, which meets at Human on Monday evenings. In 2022, she received lay ordination as a Buddhist minister and acharya, thank you, in the Embracing Simplicity Contemplative Order of Heartwood Ridge. That's Heartwood Refuge. She has a particular love of the Dhamma, but has also been deeply inspired by the practices and teachings of many different spiritual paths and lineages. She is licensed as a clinical psychologist and has a small private practice. On behalf of our director of RE, Lexi Brown, music director Alex Peach, and her substitute, my fellow worship associates and the dedicated technical team that is making today's live stream possible, I would like to welcome you to Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we call Human. I was thinking we should have t-shirts made. This is Human. Are you used, man? We are a liberal faith community with the mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. No matter who you are, whom you love, or how you identify, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. If there are any of you visiting for the first time and you feel comfortable doing so, please rise and tell us your name so that we may all worship as friends. Anybody over here? Anybody over yonder? Okay, well, we're all family here today. Thank you for visiting this morning. We have a greeters table if any of y'all need more information out of the foyer. All ages are welcome in the service. There is a fidget shelf back there for children of all ages in the back of the sanctuary and nursery care available. The RE schedule for the next several weeks, along with today's second hour adult enrichment offerings, are printed in your order of worship. Today at 11:15, we launch a new 5-part adult enrichment class, UU Prayer, with Meredith Pinnock will lead. Discussions on the topic of prayer historically, culturally, and in our lives. And there are the announcement of the 50-50 acknowledgement. This month, the 50-50 recipient is Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, GIPL, inspires and equips communities of faith to organize, implement practical climate solutions, and advocate across Georgia on the issues of climate change, environmental justice, and community resilience. Human has received grants from the GIPLE for installation in discovery and fellowship halls and for changing the light bulbs to LEDs in the parking lot. Any checks or Givlify donations specifically designated as 50-50 during the month of April will go to support the work of the GIPL. Lexi has an announcement.
Hello, beloveds. So how many of you know Keep Roswell Beautiful? Who's heard of that before? Yeah, a couple of you. Who knows that the board voted to make us official members of Keep Roswell Beautiful recently? Yes. Who knows that there is an event for Keep Roswell Beautiful on the 28th of this month? Yes. They're having their annual Move Roswell, which is the bike race that they cut off Canton Street so it's all just cyclists. And Human has a booth. Yes, we do. So we're looking for volunteers to help man that booth. You can set up the booth, volunteer an hour of your time to come talk to people, and then clean up afterwards. So if you have any questions, you can let me know, and there's an email that went out on your phones.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be with all of you. Thank you for the warm welcome, Jim. As Jim said, I'm one of the teachers here for the Monday night meditation group, and we'd love to welcome you any Monday evening at 7 p.m. We'd be happy to have you join us. So I've actually spent a lot of time over the years in Unitarian communities and in Buddhist communities, and as I was reflecting on what I wanted to share with you this morning, I was thinking about how much these communities actually have in common. We're really kindred spirit communities in many ways. And I could say a lot about that, but one of the things that I was reflecting upon is the way in which in both of these communities, there's a real curiosity of spirit, a real openness to learning, an interest in new ideas and perspectives. And I thought another word for that in the Zen Buddhist tradition is beginner's mind. So I thought that that would be a good topic to explore with you this morning and offer some teachings and some reflections on this beginner's mind. How do we practice with beginner's mind? I thought that was a topic that a Unitarian community could really appreciate, that we need not think alike to love alike. So I wanted to open this morning with a quote, not knowing, from Zen teacher Norman Fisher. He says, "When we know something and rest in that knowing, we limit our vision. We will only see what our knowing will allow us to see. Not knowing, I am ready to be surprised, ready to listen and understand, ready to respond as needed, ready to let others respond, ready to do nothing at all if that is what is called for. When I can let go of my experience, knowledge, and wisdom, I can be humble in the face of what is. And when I am humble, I am ready to be truly fearless and intimate. I can enter into this moment, which is always a new relationship, always fresh. I can be moved by what happens, fully engaged and open."
Before we light the chalice this morning, I wanted to give you a little bit of history behind it. For me, the single greatest reason for me want to be a UU is the Unitarian Service Committee that was started during World War II, and we're the only American organization that got Jews out of Nazi Germany. In 1933, three things happened. FDR was elected to be president, Hitler came to power, and Waitzel Sharp was ordained a UU minister. Along with his wife Martha, they went to Czechoslovakia, and when it was invaded in 1933, they were already there, so they had more privilege of movement than before the Nazis came. But when they came, it was just 6 months before the Nazis started rounding people up and imposing their laws on any intellectual, Bohemians, or Jews. So Ken Burns has done a documentary about this that's amazing. I watched it last night and it was phenomenal. It is talking about a rough time in our history, but the courage overweighs your uncomfortable feeling in watching. And it's called Defying the Nazis, the Sharps War. At the end of the war, or actually in 2006, the country of Israel gave righteous among the nations awards to people around the world that had helped during the Holocaust. Poland has 7 million. Netherlands have almost 6 million. France over 5 million. And the United States have 5. Not 5 million, 5. 2 of which are the Sharps. So this symbol was used on the doors in Czechoslovakia. It was designed by an Austrian artist. And if you saw that sign, it was just like the Underground Railroad that we had. If you saw the sign on the building, you knew that that was a safe haven. So when we light this chalice, we're continuing that tradition and connecting ourselves with our past. So now, if you'll join with me for this chalice lighting. As we gather together, may we feel love. As we listen, may we hear truth. As we leave, may experience tranquility.
Hello again. So as I had said, I'd like to share some reflections this morning on beginner's mind. And I like to think of this as really letting go of our preconceived ideas, expectations, agendas, and this real opening, curiosity to the freshness of this next moment, whatever that may be. And I wanted to start with a story some of you may be familiar with from the Zen Buddhist tradition of a very learned professor filled to the brim with knowledge who went searching for Buddhist teachings. And he encountered this great Zen master and asked for him to share the teachings. And the Zen master invited him to a cup of tea, as they do. And they sat down to have tea together, and the Zen master began pouring tea in his cup. And it was pouring and pouring and kind of reaches the top of the cup and starts to spill over. And this professor says to him, "It's full, it's full, it's to the brim, stop, stop." And the Zen master says with a smile, "Yes, your cup is full. To receive Zen, you must empty your cup." Right? So this sense in which when we're really overly full with already knowing the way that it is, with our ideas, our beliefs, our expectations, it's very challenging to learn something new. Right? So we invite this beginner's mind to be open to learning something that maybe we haven't already heard before, right? Another aspect of beginner's mind that we might notice is at a time when things start to feel really repetitive, like this again, like really familiar, we've been here, we've done this, this person, this place, this staff meeting, it's likely that we've lost our beginner's mind, kind of that starts to feel kind of dry and repetitive. Zen Master Suzuki Roshi famously said, "In beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In expert's mind, there are few." In expert's mind, there are few. So this is what it's beginning to point to here. And we might also kind of notice the ways in which when we're really losing our beginner's mind, It's often hard to really see clearly what's here in front of us. It's hard to see this person, this place, this experience when we've lost our beginner's mind. So I once heard someone share a story of going to the store, thinking she was buying a live plant and coming home with an artificial one. And she described watering this plant before she discovered that it was not real and believing that she was seeing it grow greener. Right? Like the ways in which our expectations, our beliefs, our ideas often color what we see and can often make it very challenging to see clearly the truth of what's here in front of us. So Claude Monet said, "To truly see, we must forget the name of the thing we're looking at." Right? This is beginner's mind. To truly see, we must forget the name of the thing we're looking at. So I recently read a novel, Hello Beautiful, for my book club. And one thing that I really appreciated about this novel is the way the author really captured this, the way in which we do this, which we see through certain views and ideas and opinions, how that really colors what we see. And she did this by following this family and showing different experiences that the family went through the eyes of different family members. So you would see a certain person, a certain experience, a certain set of events, and then you'd see it all again through a new set of eyes, and you would see it so differently. And she did this again and again. I thought it was very powerful. You know, you would see a certain character as kind of incompetent, could never find their words, needed a lot of guidance. And then you'd see them through someone else's eyes with their kindness, their sensitivity. You know, you'd see them completely differently, right? And just reflecting on how often we do that. You know, we have a certain idea of somebody and kind of, oh, I know this person. I know what it's going to be like, you know, interacting with this person. I know who they are. Or, you know, I've had times where I felt that from someone else, that I'm on the receiving end of that. I think every one of us has had that experience. And then maybe some time passes and we get to actually know them, and we find out that they're maybe entirely different than maybe that first impression. Right? So this, like, sometimes to truly see, we need to forget the name of the thing we're looking at, right? This welcoming of beginner's mind. So, you know, in reflecting on this, we can really invite this beginner's mind into any aspect of our lives. But inviting you this morning to reflect on what would it be to invite this beginner's mind into one of your closest relationships. Maybe someone you've known for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and we have this idea of who they are and maybe a familiar conversation, like I know how it's gonna go, I know how it's going to be. What would it be to invite beginner's mind, this freshness, this openness, this newness? I have teenagers. It can be kind of interesting to practice bringing this beginner's mind to a conversation where I can notice that feeling of, oh, here we go again in this familiar, you know, conversation, kind of knowing how this is going to play out. What is it to bring and invite this beginner's mind of truly listening to this person as if we don't already know who they are, how it's going to go? Kind of letting go of our agendas of what we need to say and what we need to be heard. You know, so really inviting you to reflect upon what would it be to bring in this beginner's mind to different places in my life, work relationships, family, you know, maybe places where we notice liking someone, not liking someone, someone that we barely know. What would it be to invite in this beginner's mind? So I was actually talking with a couple friends yesterday morning, and we didn't even talk about the idea of beginner's mind, but one of them was sharing some kind of insights that she's found recently in her relationship with her partner. And she was saying, I realize that I hold her to such expectations and rules for how she's supposed to be. And this is a Buddhist friend, so she was kind of reflecting on, this creates a lot of suffering for us, right? And she was really seeing that more clearly and kind of practicing with what would it be to let go or loosen or soften some around all of these rules that she was putting on her partner. And I loved how she put it. She said, it's kind of like I'm wrapping her in shrink wrap. I thought that was great. And making her so much smaller than she is when I do that to her. And another friend said, yeah, it's like we're making them two-dimensional when we do that, right? And I was just thinking, I thought I'd share that. It just really struck me. Really what they're speaking of, again, is this losing of our beginner's mind with those we love, how easy it can be to do that. Wrapping them in shrink wrap. So I'd like to invite you to reflect on this as kind of a remembering that we can invite and return to. One way of thinking of this may be presence, inviting and returning to greater presence in our lives. And it can also be a practice that we can cultivate, right? This is something that when we do this, when we return in this way again and again, this does bring about a certain momentum in our lives of living more from this presence, from this openness, this curiosity, this beginner's mind. So I walk my dog every morning, and I can kind of do that with this kind of expert's mind, kind of like getting through the walk, knowing this is what I do, you know, this is what she needs to do her thing, and getting back so I can do the next thing. Or I can do that morning walk with this invitation of beginner's mind, right? Being really present, feeling my feet on the ground as I walk, like taking in my dog's happiness. It's one of her favorite times of the day as she's kind of smelling and taking in the different weather of the morning, you know, this time of year, noticing like the brightness of the green on the trees or the flowers starting to come out, right? Can really invite and practice and cultivate this beginner's mind. Letting go of knowing and opening to what's here. So I love Mary Oliver, the poet. Many of you probably know Mary Oliver. And she has a poem, Mysteries, that I think really captures this kind of invitation to open to the mystery of this being human, to really open to this mystery with this sense of beginner's mind. The only way that we can really truly touch into this is through this letting go of our knowing. So the name of the poem is Mysteries, Yes. She says, truly we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. How grass can be nourishing in the mouths of lambs, how rivers and stones are forever in allegiance with gravity while we ourselves dream of rising, how two hands touch and the bonds will never be broken, how people come from delight or the scars of damage to the comfort of a poem. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have the answers. Let me keep company always with those who say, look, and laugh in astonishment and bow their heads. So I once heard it said that kind of trying to grasp on to the mystery of this being human, like the nature of reality through kind of holding to our views, our concepts, our beliefs, is like looking at the kind of vast night sky through the tiny aperture of a straw, right? Through the tiny aperture of a straw and believing that we're seeing all that is, right? And then we can find ourselves looking over at the next person with their little straw, looking up at the vast sky, and we find ourselves saying, my straw is better than your straw, right? And I love how Richard Rohr puts this from the Christian tradition. He says, God is always bigger than the boxes we build for God. So we should not waste too much time protecting the boxes. Richard Rohr teaches beautifully on bringing in beginner's mind in our spiritual practice, in our spiritual path. So I wanted to end today with a passage from spiritual teacher Joan Tollefson. She says, "We have a basic human compulsion to closure. This is our basic compulsive desire to pin things down, get a grip, secure a foothold, figure everything out, and know the final truth with doubtless certainty. This compulsion to arrive at the final truth is, of course, foiled again and again by life itself, which simply doesn't seem to stay put in any of the neat and tidy little boxes into which we try to put it. This living actuality can never be pinned down or grasped. It is moving and changing, never the same way for an instant. And yet, in another sense, it is immovably always right here, right now, in this ever-present immediacy or presence that we can never actually leave. The morning breeze, this cup of tea, the beloved dog trotting toward me, the green leaves, the blossoming flowers, the galaxies dying and being born millions of light years away, this whole amazing magic show. And yet, we can never really get hold of it or explain it in any final way. We are it. This indivisible present happening is both obvious and inconceivable. It never resolves into any final shape. It never departs from this present immediacy. And we are never separate from it." Thank you.
And now, if you'll say the words of the extinguishing the chalice of found in your order of worship, "We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we gather again."
Okay. So I'd like to end this morning with a piece from Carol, from Rachel Carson, called "The Sense of Wonder." "A child's world is fresh and new and beautiful, full of wonder and excitement. It is our misfortune that for most of us, that clear-eyed vision, that true instinct for what is beautiful and awe-inspiring, is dimmed and even lost before we reach adulthood. If I had influence with the good fairy who is supposed to preside over the christening of all children, I should ask that her gift to each child in the world be a sense of wonder so indestructible that it would last throughout life as an unfailing antidote against the boredom and disenchantment of later year, the alienation from our sources of strength."
The service has ended. Go in peace.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.